You have achieved everything the modern world told you to chase, the title, the reputation, the curated life, and yet something feels hollow. That gap between outer success and inner exhaustion is not a personal failure, Mark. It is a structural feature of a psyche that has been only half mapped. Carl Jung called the mask we present to the world the persona, and he spent his career warning that mistaking that mask for your total identity is one of the most costly errors a human being can make. The failure mode has a name, the polished persona trap, and the antidote begins with understanding what lies beneath the surface of conscious awareness. Think of the psyche as an iceberg. The tip above water is the ego, your sense of I, your daily decision maker, the voice narrating your life. Most people treat the ego as the whole story. Jungian psychology disagrees sharply. The ego, for Jung, is a relatively small complex floating atop a vast interior ocean. Now, that ocean has two layers. The first is the personal unconscious, your forgotten memories, suppressed emotions, unresolved experiences. The second, and far more radical, is the collective unconscious. This is not your private memory bank. It is a shared, inherited substrate of the human mind, present in every person regardless of culture or era. Jung argued this layer is as biological as your bone structure. The key idea here is that you did not choose it, build it, or fill it with your own experiences. You were born into it. That claim sounds philosophical until science starts catching up. Research in transgenerational epigenetic inheritance has shown that trauma and memory-like responses can be passed biologically across generations, findings that some scientists have explicitly connected to Jung's concept of inherited psychic structures. The collective unconscious is populated by what Jung called archetypes. The term comes from the Greek archetypon, meaning first molded or original pattern. Jung began applying it to psychological structures in 1919. For example, think of archetypes as ancient riverbeds carved into the landscape of the mind. Water, meaning human experience, always flows through those same channels. The hero, the shadow, the great mother, the trickster, these are not invented characters. They are recurring patterns that surface in myths, dreams, and behavior across every human civilization. That means when you feel an irrational pull toward a certain story, or an inexplicable dread, you may be touching one of those ancient channels. Jung did not arrive at these ideas comfortably. His break from Sigmund Freud in 1913 was a professional and personal rupture. The core disagreement was precise. Freud insisted that libido, psychic energy, was fundamentally sexual in nature. Jung rejected this. He argued that libido was a general life force, a broader psychic energy that could not be reduced to one drive. That split cost Jung his standing in the psychoanalytic establishment. What followed was a period of intense inner crisis, during which Jung descended deliberately into his own unconscious. He documented those encounters in a manuscript he called the Red Book. The work was so raw, so strange, that it was locked in a Swiss bank vault and remained unpublished for nearly 50 years after his death. It was finally released in 2009. The Red Book is not a theoretical text. It is a first-hand record of a man mapping territory no one had charted before, Mark, and doing so at enormous personal cost. The takeaway from all of this is not abstract. Your psyche is not a simple, transparent thing you can fully know through introspection alone. It has depth, inheritance, and structure that predate your birth. The ego is real, but it is not the whole. The collective unconscious is not a mystical fantasy. It is a framework supported by Jung's clinical work and increasingly echoed in biological research. Archetypes are not metaphors for decoration. They are functional patterns shaping your reactions, your relationships, and your recurring life themes right now. The first step toward genuine self-knowledge, Mark, is accepting that the stranger within you is not an enemy to suppress. It is the larger part of yourself you have not yet met. That meeting is what Jungian analysis makes possible.